Yo, welcome in New York. This is the Post 90 podcast. We have a lot to talk about. We had the win at Toronto. For those of you that follow our Twitter, you know we recorded a full episode after the game at the stadium. And we finally got to get off some positive agenda about the team. And maybe it was the soccer gods that wanted to take that moment from us. Audio corrupted, so you haven't heard from us in a while with that episode going missing. But we've crashed back down to earth playing Cincy.
Kind of. We should kind of adjust the way that we feel, because when we saw Cincy on the schedule months ago, we kind of chalked this up as an L. This has been something that we've been expecting. And I think honestly that we played better than I would have expected, especially considering the circumstances behind some of the people missing. I think the biggest miss for us, which is almost weird to say because he hasn't been finding the back of the net, but missing Muntsev was insanely, insanely big. Missing that pressure, that his ability to create chances kind of out of nothing, always being a threat. I think we really missed that. Everything else, I think we kind of got away with it in a lot of ways. But the striker, that was the biggest thing for me.
When you do have Baki in there and he's creating these chances, it kind of brings a immeasurable feeling to the game. And you're right, Baki, I think when it comes to XG, he's like fifth in the league, but
right
when the finishing isn't there, it is tough to still back him.
It is tough, but you can't deny that pressure leads to good things. Mm-hmm. Like that eventually leads to a chance that will go in the back of the net, and you don't want to be getting 15 chances on goal and scoring one. But at the end of the day, if that one is the winning goal, that's all that really matters. And it's just, I think we missed that a lot. I think having Santi up top, it just wasn't the same. I mean, Santi was doing his best, like Bruno impression of just playing everywhere on the field, but it really didn't work out. I think offensively, we just looked a little bit less of a threat.
It was quiet from a number of people in the attack. We saw Julian, who kind of had what you could maybe consider a breakout game against Toronto. He had the incredible Travella that we gushed over in the episode that nobody will ever see. But you don't see anything from Hannes, who is now two games removed from the home game we were at, where it felt like he was going to be the product that we all are hoping he can be. And then aside from that, you're without a striker. Santi, he's doing his best, but when you don't have kind of those supporting pieces in those roles, nothing is going to come of it, and nothing came of it in the end.
And going back to the Julian thing, that was one of the big things we talked about, where it's this weird thing with Julian where he has these flashes. You see the world-class player that everyone expects from him, and then it's just, where did it all go? What happened in the preparation or during the game that all of this energy and all of this talent seems to have been sucked away from you?
And is it that we were playing, is it just as easy as we were playing a better team? We find ourselves in TQL Stadium against the defending Supporter Shield winners.
Definitely, you know, the talent that you're facing says a lot. But like Julian, there's something about him that I think it supersedes the opponent sometimes. Like it is truly on him. Overrunning balls or mishitting things or not being confident enough to do the things that make him great, or that make him potentially great, I should say.
And I think maybe the things that help him fit in the system too. Our right side was getting abused. It was Jason and Julian. I honestly don't know where Jason was, and I think that's very contradictory from what we've said so far.
Definitely.
This season. It felt like both him and Julian, especially in terms of defense, like they were just leaving Thiago out to dry, and I don't want to let Thiago off the hook. We can riff about him too with those balls over the top, but they were really providing no type of coverage. We were so vulnerable that way.
It almost seems like everything we praised last week came immediately back and was like, well, here's reality.
Well, it's almost good that the episode didn't
air.
Because we did spend time building Thiago up for being able to learn how to deal with those balls over the top. And
immediately could not again.
He clearly did not learn. And he was beat really early in this game, actually. And I think I texted you during the game, like, is Fries going to be the U.S. keeper for the World Cup? Matt has boosted himself to a point where he is saving a lot of these games from being much uglier. And we already have analysts. Taylor Twellman said that we were arguably the worst team in the MLS.
This year or last year?
Like 2 days ago.
Wow.
2 days ago. I think a Cincy fan was crying about VAR, which the ref was okay. Yeah. I don't think that was a point of the game.
I think the handball at the end, if it were me and my team, I probably would be a little upset. But then again, if I were the team that conceded, I would be upset too. It was kind of one of those ones where nobody's going to be happy either way. It was pretty bang-bang in terms of bouncing off of Freeze into our center back's hand. But at the end of the day, like he did have his hand on the ball. Like, that did happen.
And I think that was Tana.
Right, it was.
Yeah, this is the debut of Tana into a City lineup. And I think it started off looking a lot more interesting. I think he was playing a little bit higher. I know we were talking about that during the game. But then it felt like things just unraveled.
Yeah.
It not even unraveled, but snowballed. I'm surprised he was in that game at some points. I think he almost fully football tackled somebody and flew over the back of him. And I was like, what is this? This
he
is
was
like
the one the that needs somebody in the...
Acosta.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he caught Acosta bad.
In his,
what did Michael Allen said, his right in his Acostas or his Lucians or something. I can't remember which one he said. But yeah, he was kind of unhinged out there. Sloppy.
I don't even know where to start. I think it was a product of Cincy kind of building themselves into the game, and so there was more pressure on him.
When it's your first time, your first go, and you're against a team like Cincy.
For sure. And I don't think that this is going to be the end of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And some other things we can talk about, we had two injuries that, at least in terms of current lineup construction, are significant.
Debilitating.
Yes.
Some might say debilitating. Because we saw... I think this was the first time, and credit to him, but he really didn't have a choice. But we saw Cushing like kitchen sink offensively because he literally had no other option. Throw everybody out there.
Well, Ojeda was subbed in to replace Kevin, but he's no left back. But Kevin's injury, and this was kind of weird for me to hear in the press conference afterwards. It seemed like Burke's injury is less serious than Kevin's, which has its own layer of scariness to it because Kevin's involves his head. I guess last year Kevin had some type of bad concussion and he took a few weeks of recovery for that. I know we talked about how we didn't quite remember that happening and we had a different left back situation then, but he looked concussed out there.
He looked like a guy who got his bell rung for sure.
Yeah. Shielding the eyes from the light because it's bothering you, and just overall looking kind of spacey, not to look too much into it, but Cushing said that there would be a extended timetable on that. Which is weird.
But I think with head injuries, specifically now more than ever, I think they're much more comfortable being like, okay, you don't need to play in this game that we're probably going to lose anyways. Like
in week six.
We're comfortable week six. Like, you take some time, get your head right.
It's the right thing to do to take him out.
Yeah, and honestly, it's nobody's fault but the front office and Nick Cushing that we don't have a replacement for him. I'm just flat out playing the truth.
Yeah, I mean, the replacement is Christian McFarlane, who I think is 17. And for this game, he was in England. So there's that. Right. Yeah, that's why you see an Ojeda come in. And you just flat out lose that defender for the system that you've game planned to run all week.
And so going forward, who is our left back, especially considering, you know, Burke may be injured, O'Toole maybe is definitely going to be out.
Yeah, it sounds like we can guarantee an O'Toole absence next game.
I would be comfortable saying that. And so a difficult job gets harder.
I guess Christian gets the run and we find out. These are the questions that we asked in the preseason too. Like, hey, we got to give these kids chances and we have to find out if this wonder kid is a wonder kid or not. Right. He's not going to be able to fully prove it in U17 games or on the training pitch. Like, it has to be in real competition.
I wonder, like, how do you even get wonder kid label as a wingback? They got to stop doing that. Like, what, do you just run fast?
Yeah.
You just... defend well, I
you
guess.
You have to be good. And now, I mean, now Christian has to prove it.
Right.
I guess that has to be
presumably,
our only...
if he's back, even.
Our only course of action. He should... I think everybody from international play should be back. Keaton should be back. And then we have Burke, too.
Keaton.
Well, it's... maybe instead of... before we get into Burke, because the conversation has started, I know last episode, one of the last episode that wasn't heard, one of the highlights was kind of grandstanding Sands and his ability, and I think we saw more of that this game.
For sure.
So that consistency and having that from Sands, it does almost say it sucks when you're Keaton if you get taken out. Now you've given these guys an opportunity to show if they're real or not, or if they're back to who they used to be being Sands. And like, now I don't see how you take a position away from him.
Yeah, unless they just go the 3/5 at the back because they don't have a left back and they just rock.
Sands might have to be center. Different.
Yes, Sands in the center. But Sands is not movable from this lineup.
At the moment,
As long as he's healthy, he's going to be playing without a doubt, and he should. We've always known that he was this guy. I think he just had a little bump where, I don't know, maybe his confidence was a little low or whatever it was that was happening. You know, we saw a dip, but I think Sands is back fully.
Yeah, he has to be, but even with the Burke injury. So we see Hack come in as the Band-Aid, which was rough in itself, but kind of keeping it on Burke. I guess this has been a regular pain, Cushing said, that they've been managing. And like, he, in his day-to-day and during training, is like feeling this pain. And it's like, we know going into the game that at some point he may have to come off. It's just like, at what minute is that going to be?
And like, that seems like a liability.
That seems like the worst thing that you want to hear.
Yeah.
Like, we can't every game have our left-footed center back. Like, which, I got to tap out at 70.
Luckily, has not been an issue.
Right.
Until it was.
Now. Yeah, and now it is a big issue.
And in terms of depth, there is none. Because even if you're planning to play a 4 at the back, you're probably... I mean, Tavon was playing left back for Jamaica, so I guess that's possible.
I guess that's what you have to do.
That's what you would have to do if you want to play a 4 in the back.
It's going to be...
Unless you're debuting McFarland.
It's going to be interesting. Does it work?
Yeah, we're back.
I don't know what we did. I don't know what we did to deserve this.
I mean, just not charge your phone.
Tech issue.
I guess just not charge your phone.
Well, I was going to say, with my track record, I feel like you get like 30% blame for letting me be the phone guy.
That's true.
I mean, I have a record.
You do have a long history of not charging any device.
Yeah. So yeah, what happened there? Phone went out. I'm not sure at what point it cut out, but I think the universe... trying to silence us one way or another. 2 episodes
Do we even
in a
know
row.
What topic it might have cut out on?
We really don't. I know we were talking about the left back. I know we were talking about Burke.
And his pain.
And just overall, the lack of depth that we have in the defense.
Yeah.
And Tavon.
Everywhere else, there is a plethora of players.
And Tavon having the ability to play left back, I guess, as he did for Jamaica over this international break.
I can see Hack kind of being a Band-Aid in certain places as well. Throw him at left back, I guess that's possible, but I don't know. It makes an already difficult job that much more difficult, and I think it's messy, right?
Yeah, we got Miami, and from what we've been told, Messi is nursing something. I think he's had some like nagging hamstring injury. I think they just lost 4-0 to the Red Bulls without a Messi, which would be concerning if you're a Miami fan. We'll say it will be concerning. But they'll be back home, and they still have, obviously, Boosie, Alba, and Suarez, who has...
That's name crazy.
Is his name is totally...
I mean, if you pronounce that differently, you're talking about a completely different thing.
I can't get away. If I, like... I can't even say the B word, being Sergio B.
Busquets.
Because no matter how I say it, there's some issue with you. Busquets, because you can't pronounce a Q like a Q is pronounced.
Yeah, because it's his name.
Well, they have him, they have Alba, and then they have Suarez, who I think there were one too many meat falling off the bone memes going around the MLS community at the start of the season for him to look like he's looked now. I think he leads in combined goal and assists. I think he has 4 goals, 2 assists, and that's just not good for a patchwork defense.
When you only have to sprint like 30 yards each game and you get to poach and sit at the top... I could probably do that. Not successfully, maybe, but
yeah.
I'd have the shots.
I think one day somebody will super cut, like every time one of us have said we can do that on the field, and then somehow capture footage of us actually on a field and kind of play that right afterwards. And, you know, if just there was any amount of credibility that existed,
it
would no longer
exist. It's out the window. Yeah. It looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Every time I try to hit the ball. But dude, Suarez, I don't know. I'll never believe that hype anymore. Like, if you were talking back in the day, this dude's knees are honestly built
worse than mine.
They're just bad. They're not good anymore. So I'm really not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of Miami, and that's weird to say. Even with Messi, I'm not afraid. I'm really not. Okay. I'm really not. Okay. And the reason.
Don't let Miami fans see this,
bro.
They're gonna
my DMs
meme you to hell after the game,
brother. I'm really not afraid.
Messi hat trick, Louis hat trick. It's like a pink wedding
calendar hat trick. But no, like I don't think that I'm afraid of Miami. We've proven before we ruined the Golden Knight. There's just something about that team. They just can't beat us.
Yeah.
And I'll die 10 toes down for this team. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like last week, I was saying since we were going to slap them all the way up to kickoff.
And I think it's worth saying on the way to Toronto, we said we were going to slap them. We did.
But we touched them. Didn't slap them. Touched them.
And then it's worth saying before Toronto, Portland, we said we were going to smack them. We didn't.
No.
And I think before, what was week two? So week two and one, I believe we had very high hopes to smacking.
Blind faith, I think.
For smacking call it. To take place.
No, I think
we're shooting 1-for-5.
Right, I think now. With inner Miami, I think we can squeak a result. I don't think we'll slap them, but we'll squeak. I think we could squeak one.
All right, well, that's good positivity going into the matchup.
Who knows how much of this episode you would have actually been able to hear.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for positivity, more so blind positivity with no reasoning behind it other than our brains being able to convolutedly piece it together, this is like the podcast for you if you enjoy positivity, you know, around a team that otherwise has been completely negative this year.
Yeah.
Minus one night against Toronto.
Yeah.
So, you know, we appreciate you guys. If you stick around, if you listen, you can always toss that like, that subscribe. I think now when a video says subscribe, the subscribe button, have you seen it? It lights up like in real time.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't subscribed to anybody in years.
But hit that sub button. Find us on...
Subscribe.
The button is like tweaking.
It's a light show in somebody's room.
And we appreciate it. I think we said that. But we'll catch you guys in 122, 123, whatever it is.
We're kind of lean at this point.
You will hear from us after Miami. For better or for worse. So, yeah.
We'll see you guys then. Peace.